Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest, it's an exciting one. He is the founder and CEO of Honest Lash. But my goodness, I am so excited to get into his story and just who he is as an individual, but more importantly, share his vision. I think by the end, you're going to understand why this is an individual to admire. My goodness. Jonathan, Alice, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. That's a very warm and welcoming opening to this podcast. So thank you for having me. Very excited to be here. Very excited to dive in the weeds of franchising and business and all the things that we're going to be talking about. So thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And my goodness, it's about being qualified, and you are doing the work to be qualified. That is most certain. But I kind of feel like you were born to do what you are doing, which is so neat. We'll definitely get into your story. A lot of folks don't really understand what franchising is. They think, oh, you know, it's McDonald's or it's Burger King. Those are the more common examples in franchising. But, you know, as long as it's moral, it's legal, it makes money, it can be franchised. And that means the more traditional methods like McDonald's or Burger King, or the less conventional, like a painting brand like Lime Painting, or the beauty space like Honest Lash, all different things can be franchised. One thing is common though, nobody raises their hand and says, oh, I'm going to get into the franchising space. Well, not until I learned about you, but a lot of folks, franchising has a way of finding you. So Jonathan, share your story. How did franchising find you?
It's a great story. It's a long story. It's one of my favorite stories to tell, actually, though, because I get to talk about my family and who I am, where I come from, and what we believe in. I'm very much a product of my environment, being born into a great situation. My grandfather, in 1969, opened up one of the first McDonald's in Texas as a franchisee. He was a lifelong salesman, did a bunch of jobs all through his 20s, 30s, 40s. He was raised as a chicken farmer in Missouri and just had that blue collar, grind it out, do what you had to do, wake up early, work late, anything and everything to provide for not only himself, but for his family. It's cool to talk about the, the origin story of myself personally, but essentially, Papa opened up his first McDonald's in Beaumont, Texas, which is about 100 miles east of Houston on Interstate 10. He opened that in 1969. At the time, McDonald's wasn't McDonald's. McDonald's was still very much an emerging brand. And Texas, for one case or another, that was the last state that Ray Kroc decided to enter. And it was already a national brand. It was still finding its sea legs in the 60s, early 70s. But at that point, a lot of locations had opened, but McDonald's in Texas was still not an established brand name. So year into it, 2 years into it, you know, late 70s, 71, he went belly up, lost everything, lost his money, was struggling. It was his first time business. He opened at the age of 40, that first location, heavily a debt, a lot of overhead. And then just not, when you first open your business, you don't know what you're doing. It doesn't matter if you're a franchise or not, you're still finding your way and stubbing your toe and making all good mistakes in the ultimate pursuit to, you know, be your own boss and be your own, be in the business of yourself. McDonald's at the time was growing, emerging, but I remember Pop always saying, like, the closest McDonald's was New Orleans, which was over 300 miles away. There were no regional suppliers. There was no established system like the global McDonald's is today. So he took his old job back with NCR, National Cash Register. He came across McDonald's in the first place. He had worked a deal with McDonald's to live part-time in Texas and still and be able to move to Florida, which is where his position was for NCR. And he could split time in both Florida and Texas. That worked for a minute. He was paying bills. He was helping grow the business a bit. And then McDonald's essentially said, they found out a year into it, like, hey, you're going to have this business. You're going to have this restaurant. Get back to Beaumont. From the way my dad tells it, there was a big family vote at the dinner table between he and his brother and my grandparents. And they basically, even though they knew it was going to be a significant risk and they had already gone belly up once. And when I say belly up, I mean, they didn't have enough money to pay the bills to for their own lifestyle. Like they put all their savings, they put everything into that restaurant and dad needed or Papa needed an income. He took his old job back, split time, still had a great GM in Beaumont to run it. But then McDonald's was like, okay, if you're going to be the guy, you got to be back in Texas. And so big family vote went the way of, hey, we're entrepreneurs. We believe in this. We know it's, we just got to put the love into it. And at the time, my dad and uncle were teenagers and ready to pull up their sleeves and get into business. And that's exactly what they did. And luckily, in 1972, national advertising was introduced. And, you know, the rising tide lifts all ships. So from 1972 to like 1982, they opened six restaurants in Beaumont, Texas, one every couple of years and just continued to grow, continued to grow, continued to grow. And then once dad and my uncle officially entered the business, once they were adults, they were young, they were ambitious, they were aggressive. We had a good growth market in Texas. All right, dad and Brian Ellis, my dad and Russ, my uncle, expanded over the course of 40 plus years at our peak up to 82 restaurants. They rode that McDonald's wave up from the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and just were every part of that McDonald's story, that McDonald's legacy, that McDonald's, no matter what your opinion of McDonald's, good, bad, ugly, everybody knows McDonald's. Everybody's familiar with McDonald's. It's a globally recognized brand. It's one of the biggest brands. Just being able to grow up in that environment where when I was old enough to kind of be aware of what dad did, there was a significant amount of restaurants at that time. So I came along third generation, watching that growth, watching dad go from a GM to a supervisor, to the owner operator, essentially. And then to the point where they needed to expand beyond Beaumont. Uncle Russ bought the Corpus Christi market in the late 90s. They partnered up and bought the Rio Grande Valley, which had a lot of restaurants down there, which is on the Mexico border. It's been a very good business for us. Obviously, my grandfather was in it for 52 years before he passed away a couple of years ago. And it's been our lifeblood. It's been our family crest. It's been who we are. It's been our education. It's been our real life experience. And just being able to grow up in an entrepreneurial environment that was also like bolted on to this extremely strong system of what could be considered the best franchise in the world. It's just, I'm in awe of it. I respect it. We ultimately, in the last 5 years, sold out and we've gone in different directions, but it's very much part of who I am and what I believe in. And it connects all the dots for almost every major life decision that's occurred in my upbringing. So I'm very appreciative of it. It's also very humbling because that was dad's success. That was Papa's success. When you come in that environment, you learn from it, but you're also like, okay, well, man, y'all did an awesome job. What am I going to do? How can I help grow this? How can I help make decisions that benefit my children and grandchildren 40 and 50 years down the line, which is just, that's what McDonald's is to me. So as far as who I am and kind of the family legacy of franchising, yes, I could talk about it all day. I could talk ketchup and mustard, French fries and drive-thrus till the cows come home. It's such a strong system. It's such a strong playbook. It's such a strong brand that it's just, I can't help but respect it. Very excited about, I guess, just it's cool being a part of that. So I'm very excited to talk about it.
Do you know what location, what number your grandfather was?
That's a great question for my dad. I know our I-10, and we had an I-10 and 11th Street location, which was the original, which off the top of my head, I don't have that. The earliest number that I worked with was 3325, which was one of our Beaumont locations. But I know we had shut down some location and there had been some store numbers that had been moved. But I want to say it was in the early thousands. I don't, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you. That my dad would know off, like, because he worked in it his entire life.
Do you know how many locations they have today?
Well, Dad, back in 2017, 2018, Hurricane Harvey hit the Texas coast. I don't know if you recall that storm, but it was the storm that the entire state was underwater. And J.J. Watt raised a significant amount of money. I don't know if you remember that headline.
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, we had hurricanes in the past. That one impacted us significantly. And so when that time came around, Papa was also the 90s. Dad was in his 60s. I was, you know, in my mid-30s. And for me to take on, because it's not just, hey, Dad hands you the keys, it's your market to run. It's very much a system. There's very much an approval process along, not only from our family planning, but also business planning on the McDonald's side. It's just, I looked at what was on the horizon for McDonald's, which is everything you see today, which is the double drive-throughs with digital menu boards and the kiosk in the lobby, which it's all cool. And every one of those are amazing restaurants, beautiful restaurants, but those are expensive restaurants to build and operate and maintain. And what I was looking at as far as me coming on at an ownership level was a significant amount of debt in my future as far as rebuilding these restaurants, installing this restaurant of the future. And what I didn't, I believe in reinvestment. I believe in being the shiniest guy on the block. I believe in Main and Main. I believe in all of those top line things you got to do to continue to be relevant and grow revenue. The only issue I had with it, now that it was, you know, kind of coming into, I guess, my chapter of being able to run with McDonald's, we were reinvesting all these millions of dollars into these restaurants, but we were still selling cheeseburgers for a dollar. And so it's just, and with our market data over the last 50 years, we were more of a value menu market, more than an extra value meal market. And so it's real hard to pay for all that shiny stuff when you're still selling very low value, low margin, low return type of products. And so it was a pivot. In 17, Dad sold his 19 restaurants in Beaumont, Texas. Uncle Russ sold his 17 restaurants in Corpus Christi. And Uncle Russ and my cousin still own locations down in the Rio Grande Valley. And so I believe they have 27 or 28 down there. But as far as my personal affiliation and Dad's relationship with the business, we're out of McDonald's entirely. We went from growing to selling in an 18-month window. And that's a big shift. You know, it took a minute to do it. Here we are 5 years later and we're in these new business models and some of them have worked, some of them haven't. You know, we don't have the cash cow of McDonald's anymore. It's like anything. I love franchising. I love business. I love systems. I love entrepreneurship. Everything we're doing now, it's kind of, there's a little bit of McDonald's baked into everything we do.
Right. It's in your DNA. You grew up. What is the name of the university?
Hamburger University?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great training program. You know, as far as franchising and internal training and leadership training, and they had a lot of good things. That was kind of ahead of its time back in the 70s. Like, grandpa has a degree from HU, dad has a degree from HU, mom has a degree from HU. I think I'm the only one of my siblings that have one, regardless of that. It's a great experience. It's a training experience. It's very much when you're trying to grow up the corporate ladder, it's one of those things you can set a goal to. And the ones that make it to Hamburger University are the best and the brightest in the system. So it's got a silly name, but on the same note, what it stands for is incredible. I've got the HU degree listed on my LinkedIn profile. So it's one of those things where when you grow up in it and you finally get it, and then, you know, there's a few other awards in the system that you're all reaching for, but they knew what they're doing. They still know what they're doing. I know McDonald's has had their ups and downs, just like any business. It's always cyclical. It's always seasonal. But what I admire about McDonald's is they're still this many years into it, still hacking away at it, just like it's their first day on the job. So if there's a will, there's a way. As a system, it's a very aggressive business mindset of, we not only want to be in the game, but we want to be the best in the game. And we want to be on Main and Main, and we want to establish new economies by us opening up on this exit. And it's a great system to be a part of. And it teaches you the 101. And the X's and O's on almost how to operate any business from at a baseline level. I wouldn't say it's an expert on every business. It gives you a good baseline to kind of build all of your systems on, as far as, you know, all the different departments on what you need to do to be successful. That's what I mean, I still have a stack of McDonald's binders sitting here that I still refer to. It's like when I'm thinking of a policy or an employee thing or a product promotion or a marketing calendar, whatever it is we got to build to support internally, but also to support franchisees in the system. It's easy to rely on the arches to kind of help lay the ground for whatever it is we're doing.
Absolutely right. I love the mentality of, hey, we're going to be at the best intersection. Absolutely. And we're going to make the best business opportunity out of the real estate and the product and the whole thing, the brand equity and the simplicity of HU.
Absolutely.
Well, Hamburger University. It's awesome.
It's business 101. It's a lot of leadership training. There's a lot of philosophies along the way. A lot of Ray Kroc's quotes are lifeblood of that curriculum. You also go up there and it's like a museum. It's like an archive. It shows you the entire history of where they came from, all the stories. There hasn't always been a movie to tell the story. So it's like to go see it and to watch it. And then you think of it in like the day. Now it's easy for us to jump on a podcast or social media or SEO or all the things we got to do to market in today's world. But be able to grow in that environment through my brain, through my lens, I just like, man, that was an incredible wave that they were able to just not only catch, but just continue to grow. And I read an article the other day that they've got a goal by the end of the decade that they're going to hit 50,000 restaurants. And I'm just like, man, that's a lot of restaurants. I want to say my first national convention I went to, Dad said there was like, oh yeah, there's over 30,000 operators here. And I'm just like, the system, like it's operators, corporate, the suppliers, all the verticals in between, all of those relationships. It's just, you leave Beaumont, Texas, where you're big fish, and then you go visit the national convention where there's 30 other thousand people that are doing the exact same thing you're doing. That's just a very powerful, it's like a pep rally. You'd leave out of those things. You're ready to, you know, you're ready to pull out your checkbook and buy the new shiny toy that they're slinging, all the new promotions that they're coming up with over the next, not just 6 months. They would lay out 5-year plans. Hey, do this, hey, we're gonna do this, hey, we're gonna do this, hey, we're gonna do this. The fact that y'all can project that far out what we're going to be doing as a system is just mind-blowing. So anyway, it's fun to be a part of it. It was a very cool experience.
Yeah, that strategy piece of evolution of a franchise system, it's clearly, you said that McDonald's might be number one. I'm pretty sure they are, right?
There's different ways of looking at it. I mean, number of units, number of revenue, fastest growing, most profitable. I mean, they've got Chick-fil-A as the big dog right now. A decade ago, Subway was the one opening stores on every corner to their detriment. It's just everybody has their moment in the sun, and Chick-fil-A seems like the king of the mountain right now, in my opinion. But I always have that bias towards the arches. So it's just, I still drive by exits on the peripheral here in Fort Worth, Texas, and there's McDonald's is always the first guy on the corner. I remember when I was a kid, Dad was opening an interstate somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, 30 minutes away from any civilization. And he was like, yeah, it's a big store, but it's a highway store. It's a bathroom stop. It's a truck stop. We're going to establish an entire economy. And then you look back at Winnie, Texas, back in the early 90s, there was maybe a gas station there, maybe. And now it's like an entire small economy. Just watching that grow and that McDonald's started it on that corner, it's just like, that's kind of cool. Like that's not a lot of people can say that their business, I don't want to say it created the city because it was there, but it kind of put them on the map to a certain degree. I'm proud of that. I mean, it's Winnie, Texas. It's a highway stop, but it's kind of cool. Every time I drive through Winnie, I'm just like, okay, like none of this was here until we put that store there. So I don't know. It's just cool.
Right. I think private enterprises are underrated with how they impact history.
An economy. I mean, it's just a job provider. Regardless if it's a make job or not, it's still paying people's incomes. It's providing livelihoods. It's providing opportunities. And the ones that do take McDonald's seriously and do make it to HU at Hamburger University, like there's opportunities galore. And Dad was always proud of the fact that he created 9 owner operators, like in his own system, meaning they got promoted to the point, the growth, the expansion, you know, the leadership. And then McDonald's was like, well, hey, maybe he can go open. So Dad's like, great. He's getting expensive on my payroll. Go open your own restaurant. Yeah. He created 9 owner operators in his 40 plus years in the business. And every one of them are still sprinkled around here in Texas. And anytime we're traveling, we're visiting stores that Dad and Papa helped create their opportunities. So that even that's cool. Like it's entrepreneurship to, yes, it's generational. Yes, we piggybacked off McDonald's, but it's still, like I said, it's very much a family crest. It's who we are. It's what we believe in. The core philosophies of McDonald's are very much part of who we are and how we operate businesses. It's a people first business. I know working fast food is difficult and it's a grind and it's a thankless job more times than not. In most companies, most family business, like we always like to say, yes, we're McDonald's, we're this, but we're still a local business. We're still down the street from these restaurants. And we're mom and pop corporate. We've got a lot of great corporate systems. We've got a lot of great plans, a lot of great strategies, but it's still, you know, a relationship-based business where you're building and managing a team. McDonald's is a complex system. So you got to invest in your people. You got to constantly train. You got to constantly motivate. You got to constantly lead. And then even just keeping in step with what McDonald's expectations are, that's a whole other set of challenges as far as they've got this mega plan that they're building. And then I've got these individual restaurants with all their own teams, all their own leadership structures, all their own management personalities. And you got to be almost like the translator of how you take this giant complex system and make it easily digestible in bites. Because if we gave all at once, it's too much to manage. Like I said, I can talk about McDonald's forever.
That's the genius of the simplicity of just Hamburger University. The fact that the complex is made so simple is the beauty of how genius it is. And you are now scaling your own franchise system as the franchisor, the founder and CEO. Clearly, you come from a family that is all about franchising and just so happens to be a franchise system that we all know and love. And all grew up, you know, going and playing in the McDonald's playhouse, the play place. I've always thought that that was so genius, by the way. It's just the Happy Meals. It's beautiful how genius so many things are.
That was actually my first job at McDonald's was, Dad, I was probably 5 or 6. And I remember it was Parkdale Mall was adding a play place. And at the time, it was still an outdoor play place before they started building indoor. He's like, hey, go run through that vault. Go play in the balls and figure out, okay, is there construction leftovers? You know, so I was pulling out old zip ties and screws. And he was basically making sure it was kid safe to the general public before we opened it up to the public. That was my first job. Go make sure the place where the playing in the balls healthy. They always had diapers in them. They always had like.
Yeah, right.
As a manager, they were a pain in the butt to manage. But as a kid, I still remember pulling out zip ties and screws. And Dad was like, you just saved me a lawsuit there. And I'm just like, okay, great, Dad. Happy to help. You know, I'm like 6 years old. So yeah, play places. Yeah. It's all part of a bigger, get the kids in, let's get families in, let's get birthday parties. Like it was very much a family first business model. And it became a lot more drive-through focused and speed focused and value focused in its later years. But in those early years, very family friendly, very family focused. And the good old days, that's when I was a kid. I remember those days very well.
Yeah. And Disney does a great job of very similar. And I want to talk about Honest Lash. How did it get started? Can you tell us the story of, because it's not quick service restaurant, or it's not fast food. In fact, is in the beauty space. It's still brick and mortar, line painting, service-based company, home services, McDonald's, quick service restaurant, and Honest Lash in the beauty space. How did you choose the beauty space? I mean, maybe you do use the products.
I remember it was like 11 or 12. I read an article about a national competitor who's in the lash industry, and they'd just been bought out, or not bought out, maybe capital injection. I don't know. They had just partnered up with a large private equity company. And they were going national and they had opened up 200 plus locations and their average unit volume was 600K and their average ROI 20 something percent. And then like the path to break even was very fast. And like that article for Amazing Lash just sat in the back of my head for close to a decade because I liked those margins. I liked the simple model of an inline strip center based leased location with a staff of 3 to 5 employees, a minimal investment of some chairs, some beauty equipment, some cosmetic. You got to make the setting nice. And so that article just sat in my head for a few years. And, you know, being a restaurant guy and 100% focused on McDonald's, it was just at the time, it was just an article I read. And fast forward to 2017, 2018, we're making our plans to exit McDonald's post the hurricane. And I decide, okay, right up to the hurricane, I was looking at restaurants all over the state to buy and purchase and acquire. And like I said, we went from buying to selling in the course of 12 months. In the pursuit of finding more McDonald's, I found an operator for sale in Fort Worth, Texas, who was exiting the system as well. Didn't want to invest in Vision 2020, which is what they were calling it. And I saw it as, wow, Fort Worth, I love Fort Worth. I've got siblings that went to TCU. We visit there a couple times a year. It's 4 or 5 hours away from Beaumont. It was staying in Texas, but kind of getting living in a new part of Texas. The mindset was expansion. The mindset was growth. The mindset was add more units to the overall pie. And in the course of that deal, we moved to Fort Worth. We bought a house, we put the kids in school. We did all the things waiting for the deal to happen. And then the deal ultimately did not go through because there was another larger operator, local, already had an infrastructure, already had an established team here. I would have been kind of acquiring this team, starting over. I wasn't going to bring anybody from Beaumont. McDonald's has to approve deals. They chose the other operator. So next thing you know, we're in Fort Worth. I've got no business. I've got no income. I'm kind of helping remotely with the Beaumont market, but not a ton. Restaurant operations is very much hands-on, in the grind, keep your finger on this. Yes, we live in this remote world today, but 5 years ago, it wasn't this remote. Regardless of that. So when that deal fell through, I was like, okay, well, what am I going to do now? I got to figure out, because then Dad was like, well, if you're not here, I don't want to necessarily be, he'd kind of been not out of the restaurants, but he hadn't been doing the day-to-day. I'd been taking on the brunt of that for a while. When he exited, he was basically like, okay, well, let's take this as a time to regroup. Let's figure out what next steps are. Dad and I were both very adamant. I want to say all we've ever done is food. There was curiosity. There was intrigue. Started going to these franchise conventions. We wanted to stay in franchising. We wanted to go buy into another system, go buy another brand. Dad was a big fan of buying something with existing cash flow that we could just kind of go in it and make it our own, McDonaldize it at our own systems. And we looked at everything. Over the course of a year, I looked at 20, 25 businesses, probably went under contract or LOI with two or three through the course of due diligence and all that. You're like, maybe, maybe not. I looked at liquor store operations. I looked at restaurant operations. I looked at FedEx routes. I looked at, 20, 25 different businesses. Finally came across a Sylvan Learning deal, which Sylvan Learning is another franchise education business. Been around for 40 plus years, legacy brand, 600 and something units. They might have more now. There was a patch for sale in North Collin County, which is North Dallas. That's a very high-end growing market, rooftops, a lot of development there. And I saw that. I saw the revenue. I saw the margins. I saw all the, it was 8 stores. It had a nice little patch, a nice establishment, room to grow, room to add more locations in the territories. And so it was intriguing. And it felt right. It was a legacy brand with multi-unit operations. Education was a new space for me, obviously, but these were retail locations. So at the end of the day, it still had a director, it still had a staff, it still was managing labor, it was still building top line revenue, it was still marketing, it still had all the same tools of a normal business. We're just selling a new service and a new product. There's no more drive-through. Now we're adding teachers to the floor, we're adding students to the floor, just a different way to run a business. And so ultimately in mid-2018, I bought 8 Sylvan Learning locations in North Dallas. And then 6 months later, without even really still trying to figure out what I was doing, the Austin market came for sale. And that was another 7 locations. And so I had an opportunity to double down, grow. My lender was Beaumont-based bank that was knew us, knew our history, knew who we were, knew what we were trying to accomplish. We had shown that we could scale and grow in multiple markets. So it felt very comfortable, regardless of how early it was in the process. Levered up again, got another loan. Within the first 10 months, I'm operating 15 Sylvan Learning locations, which I will say, I'm not going to say it was easy, but it definitely was a slower pace than McDonald's, because at McDonald's, you're used to getting phone calls all day, every day, because there's always something broken or somebody not showing up or an upset customer or this is, it's always something 24/7. Whereas in the education world, it's more nurturing, it's more relationship based, it's more in order to, for a Sylvan Learning Center to be successful, you got a very strong sales director running the location. And then you have a director of education operating the education side. So it's kind of like a balanced approach of sales and delivery. With that, 15 locations, that means 30 salaries. That means 300 employees. That means a lot of lease, a lot of rent, a lot of salary. Jumped on that treadmill, running super fast. Late 2019, early 20, we were just starting to get over that hump, starting to become profitable, starting to get our own team aligned, starting to get some of these locations more, I wouldn't say, because they were fine. They were making money before, but we were just trying to kind of install our way, the McDonaldized system, a leaner approach. Sylvan gave me a lot of leeway with, okay, you're a McDonald's guy, come in, see what you see, and like, let's make some changes. And so I kind of took that and ran with it and was excited about it. We installed a subscription model that was very needed at the time because the revenue model was difficult at times. It was very sales-based. Fast forward to early 2020, feeling very good, feeling very confident, feeling motivated. We had just opened our location in December of 19 in Bastrop, Texas, which is about 20 minutes outside of Austin. I mean, I was opening locations all the way up to the pandemic. And I know your original story is, how did I get the beauty? And I just talked about education for 10 minutes. Essentially, the beauty business is 100% a COVID pivot. The education business was leaving McDonald's, new venture, new industry, kind of carving a new path, figuring out what does the next 40 years look like and following down that path, just like Dad and Papa did. And then March 2020, Trump shuts down travel from Europe. Like, that seemed to me, that was spring break. The kids and I were on vacation. And I remember thinking, okay, this is a little off. But first it was 2 weeks, then it was a month. We were considered inessential as an education business, which essential, inessential, that's, you're still not going to convince me on one way or the other. Because if we're providing jobs and we're providing livelihoods, we're essential. But regardless, I was shut down for 3 months. I had to furlough the majority of my staff simply because I can't, no operations, no education, no nothing. Very luckily, the majority of my staff were full-time teachers at local school districts. They came to us in the after-school hours, which is when we were primarily operating. I was their side hustle on more times than not. That kind of helped me sleep a little better at night, just that I didn't have to lay off all those people. But yet, when we reopened, I wasn't able to hire them all back just because we didn't have the demand for it. Still difficult to kind of talk about. But essentially, we reopened in midsummer to not much demand because, you know, it's summer, the kids are at home. They hadn't been in school for several months at this point. Then, let's see, back to school was delayed. And then it was virtual. And then they canceled report cards in several of my school districts. They were like, okay, grades don't count, which I know that seems silly, but like in my world, we need parents, we need students. I need kids that are struggling, that need help to either fill in their gaps or help them get ahead. And if the education system isn't driving the need for education, the demand for education, then my business just kind of bottoms out, regardless of how much we think, what do you mean? How can that business not survive? We went from thriving, killing it, doing this. And then it was like 3 months of, okay, we're just going to kind of sit back and figure this out. And we did all the virtual stuff. We tried to do a lot of plans that Sylvan was pushing, but at the end of the day, there just wasn't much need for it. And like, Sylvan's a great system, but we had a lot of software-based programs, but none of them were virtual. None of them were prepared to go online or cloud-based or something. We were literally inventing this lot. And Sylvan was building some stuff. Franchisees were building some things. We all kind of were sharing different ways to operate, just because we were all just kind of flying by the seat of our pants. Went through the PPP process, took on $500,000 in PPP, which is just, I remember when I was talking to my CPA and he's like, yeah, he's like, 8 weeks, this is our payroll, this is our rent, this is what it costs, this is, we're going to borrow. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. $500,000 from the government, that sounds terrifying. I've grown up in a family business, but this is the first time my name's on the title. And now I'm going to be taking a loan from the government, like, scary times. 2020 was a mess. But through that mess, fast forward to November, December, I'm running out of cash again. Customers are not necessarily calling because we're still, that time was still very not stable. And so I called corporate and I was like, hey, I'm out of money. I need help. Do you want to take these over? Do you want me to sell them? Let's get on the same page. Essentially, I sold 12 of the 15 locations back to a combination of corporate and surrounding franchisees that weren't as leveraged as I was from a debt point of view. They were all getting fairly good operating locations that I had just sunk a lot of money into because I remodeled almost all 15 of them in that first 2 year window. And I wasn't prepared for it. Knocked me on my rear and I'm still here picking up the pieces, but a result of that is on a slash. And you're going to say, okay, well, why on a slash? I had 3 leases that were going to just be dead rent. That was going to cost me close to 15 grand a month. And I was just like, okay, what can I plug into these spaces that would at least generate enough revenue, the rent? That was the whole idea behind it. I didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot of capital. My infrastructure with team and people, I had slowly had to let go over the course of the year. And so I was like, okay, what can I operate by myself as an operator? What can we install in these spaces that is low capital investment? Because I didn't have a whole lot of money to spend on furniture, fixtures, and equipment. I didn't have any money to go turn Sylvan locations into restaurants. That wasn't going to be a solution because not only the red tape of conversions, but just converting an inline into a restaurant, that's just, it wouldn't have worked. Came up with a few different concepts, came up with a liquor store concept, came up with a dog wash concept, And then came up with this lash concept because that back to that article that stuck in my head, I needed a concept that I could build out that was not expensive. Ultimately, we landed on the lash concept. I knew by going into this lash world, there would be an established set of people that I could hire from that have been trained and licensed through the state, estheticians, cosmetologists, lash artists, beauticians. I liked that there was a readily trained workforce that I could go out and hire. And I also liked that the build out on my Sylvans would not be significant because a Sylvan is essentially just an open box with a bunch of tables and chairs, some iPads and an office for the director. It's not a very complex build out. There's some paint on the walls, carpet, because it's a student environment. So all we did was come in and I was able to buy one salon kit on Amazon that was like a 12 chair kit. And it came with like your lash chairs, your operating tables, some lights, some lamps. I was like, okay, I can take that one 10 chair set and split it across these three remaining leases that I have and turn each one of these places into like a 3-chair lash studio, which keeps my build up, keeps my cost down on what I need to do. Basically, Black Friday of 2020, we opened Lash Goddess, which is a different name, but that was an available website on GoDaddy that I found. I was like, okay, that's a good name. We'll throw that on there. It's a good website. We'll build a whole brand around it. And when Lash Goddess first opened in Bastrop, Friday of the week prior, it was a Sylvan Learning Center. A week later, it debranded, pulled out all the equipment, moved in the salon equipment, hung some chandeliers, put in some hardwood flooring, painted a lot of walls, threw up some vinyl, put some shiplap in, just trying to make it very aesthetically pleasing, a beautiful space. And it went from a Sylvan Learning to a Lash Goddess in a matter of 72 hours with a couple of buddies and I just swinging hammers and painting and doing our thing. It's a wild story. It's a COVID pivot story. But ultimately now it's a story of, okay, yes, that was a hell of a year. We pivoted from McDonald's to education and now beauty. Here we are in year 3 of Honest Lash. We've got 4 locations in Austin. We've sold 2 franchises, one in El Paso, one in San Antonio. I've got hundreds of leads coming in a month. Right now in 24, we're on track to sell probably 2 or 3 a month, at least 2, probably 3. And my goal is to sell all of Texas over the next several years, which we've mapped it out that we can probably fit 80 to 100 across Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, Houston, Lubbock, El Paso, Rio Grande Valley, Beaumont, Texas. I've got a plan. It's very much a McDonald's plan. It's very much a growth plan with franchisees in mind. And it's been a wild ride. I can't say I enjoyed every part of it, but it's very much an entrepreneurial ride. And here we are. Now we have Honest Lash and we are building and bolting on all the components, just like Hamburger University. We've added a university campus learning environment at our UT location in Austin. We're now training, we're in the process of beginning to train in 24. We're going to be training, not only utilizing Honest Lash University as our franchise school, our in-house training school for corporate leadership, corporate development, hopefully owner-operator development. And then we're going to be licensed through the state of Texas to also be able to create our own lash artist. It's very much back to point. I like to bake in McDonald's. I like to use them as the blueprint, build my own blueprint, and then just kind of now, sorry, this long story short, franchisee, now a franchisor, and loving this side of the business as well, and just ready to grow, ready to take it where it needs to be. We're right there, man. I'm excited to be talking about it. I'm excited to be on podcasts like yours. And I don't know, it's been a wild ride. And now here we are, we're ready to talk about it. We're excited to talk about it. I want to bring it to the masses because I think it's a great business model. You can make good money on it. It's very much an owner-operator driven model, roll up your sleeve mentality. I don't know. It's a great business model. I like being a part of it. And I like, it's not exactly the story I envisioned for myself, but hey, here we are. And I'm going to do whatever I can to capitalize, take advantage, and hopefully grow a strong franchise system, very much with the core values and philosophies of McDonald's and this generational franchise legacy of who we are, what we're trying to accomplish. I don't know, man. I know that's a lot. And I just told you a lot, very drawn out way, but it's like, it's hard to just say, yeah, we opened up a lash studio because it's very much, it wasn't just we decided to open a lash studio. It was, we were in a situation that was not comfortable. We needed a solution. We were painted into a corner. We made some decisions. We've had a few dominoes fall our way. And here we are talking today. I'm happy to talk about it.
In the business, it's about the system, the process, the culture. I often talk about my experience in the paint space where you know, I never thought that I would own a paint company. I can just go on and on about the amount of services out there where you don't think that this is an industry where you'll spend a decade plus. But speaking for myself, I've been in the paint space for 15 years and I had to convince myself. I always joke that the space kind of wooed me. I was chasing, you know, commercial real estate development in South Florida. That sounded great to me in college. But the reality was that this old school, huge industry, there was a need in the luxury space. And I'm just hearing your story and I see a business model that is built on the backside of some incredible organizations that you were born and lived and grew up in. And here's this business that is built based on your firsthand experience of business and what will make a sustainable business. Yeah, my goodness, hearing your story, what is it, Thursday? I feel like it's Monday and I'm jacked up for the week now. I really appreciate you sharing your story and taking the approach that you did. Personally, I don't think I'll ever forget your story. I think we I think we learn from stories. And yeah, honest Lash, my goodness, thank you for sharing that incredible story with myself, because now I will always have that story to go along with Honest Lash. And I know our audience will as well. So thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me.
What is the best way for them to get in touch with you? Because my gosh, I'm sure you're going to have some follow-up questions and folks interested in learning more about this incredible business model. Where can they go to learn more about Honest Lash? And how can they get in touch with you if they would like to have more conversations?
Absolutely. We're based in Austin, Texas. We have four locations. We've got our flagship at the Domain. We've got our West Campus location that we're housing our university at for our training and everything we just discussed. But yeah, the easiest place to contact us is honestlash.com. And we've got all our franchising information there. We've got all our retail location information there. It's an evolving brand. It's an evolving landscape of who we are and what we're trying to accomplish. Just because with the state of the economy and coming into an election year and just all the PTSD I have from 2020, we're doing our best to plan ahead and be prepared to answer the questions that we know first-time business owners and first-time entrepreneurs are going to be asking. And what I like to say is, I'm not going to have the perfect answer for everything you're asking, but I'm going to give you the best of my abilities to explain it, to introduce it, to support it. And then just also understand that if the world takes a left turn again, and all of a sudden we're having to reinvent how we do things as a society, we're going to be there right there, hand in hand with you, trying to figure out what our next move is. Because at the end of the day, it's about providing for your family. It's about building, creating an environment for your kids. And I grew up in a situation where I benefited from the decisions that dad and papa and everybody else involved in the process made over the years. As far as getting in contact with me, yeah, honestlash.com, LinkedIn. I'm real active on LinkedIn. We're here. We're open. I like that we're in this remote world because it makes these kind of conversations easier to happen. But it's also, I'm old school. I'm an owner operator. I like to be in the kitchen and I like visiting locations. That's why we're focusing heavily on Texas right now. We do have aspirations for national growth, but I want to be able to grow smart instead of growing fast. And I believe in the system. I believe in what we're trying to build here. And I'm excited and happy to have those conversations in the future. So please call me. We're here. We're available. We're opening locations. So come catch this wave. Excited to talk to you.
Absolutely. You heard it from Jonathan Alice here on the Level Up Show. Check out Honest Lash. Clearly, this is incredible leadership. It's a business model that is built the right way. And one of the things that you mentioned in the show that I really appreciated is that you are building it with franchise owners in mind. My gosh, check it out. Smash the like comment on this video. This was an awesome episode. Drop some comments down below. But more importantly, please subscribe to the channel. It's how we're able to continue to grow, to bring on thought leaders like Jonathan Alice, the founder of Honest Lash. So thank you for tuning in. And as always,
level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.